You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers. Now, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman with Greg McEwen, forward by Stephen Covey. Last show, we were looking at the multiplier effect. What are multipliers? Multipliers are genius makers. Everyone around them gets smarter and more capable. People may not become geniuses in a traditional sense, but multipliers invoke each individual person's unique intelligence and create an atmosphere of genius, innovation, productive effort, and collective intelligence. In studying multipliers and diminishers, we learned at the most fundamental level, they get dramatically different results from their people. They hold a different logic and set of assumptions about people's intelligence, and they do a small number of things very differently. Let's examine the impact of multipliers, why people get smarter and more capable around them, and why they get twice as much from their resources as do diminishers. We call this the multiplier effect. Because multipliers are leaders who look beyond their own genius and focus their energy on extracting and extending the genius of others, they get more from their people, and they don't get a little more. In fact, the evidence is they get vastly more. Two times multiplier effect. The impact of a multiplier can be seen in two ways. First, from the point of view of the people they work with, and second, from the point of view of the organizations they shape and create. Let's begin by examining how multipliers influence the people who work around them. Extracting intelligence. Multipliers extract all of the capabilities from their people. In our interviews, people told us that multipliers get a lot more out of them than diminishers. We asked each person to identify the percentage of their capability that the diminisher received from them. The numbers typically range from between 20 and 50%. When you ask them to identify the percentage of their capability that the multiplier extracted, the numbers typically fell between 70 and 100%. When we compared the two sets of data, we were amazed to find that multipliers got 1.97 times more. That represents an almost twofold increase, or a two times effect. After concluding our formal research, we continued to pose this question in workshops and management terms, asking people to reflect on their past multiplier and diminishing bosses. Across industries and in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors, we continue to find the multipliers that at least got two times more out of their people. What could you accomplish if you could get twice as much from your people? The reason for the difference is that when people work with multipliers, they hold nothing back. They offer the very best of their thinking,
creativity, and ideas. They give more than their jobs require and volunteer their discretionary efforts, energy, and resourcefulness. They actively search for more valuable ways to contribute. They hold themselves to the highest standards. They always give 100% of their abilities to the work and then some. Extending intelligence. Not only do multipliers extract capabilities and intelligence from their people, they do it in a way that extends and grows that intelligence. In our interviews, people often said that multipliers accessed more than 100% of their capabilities. They would say, "Oh, they got 120% from me." Initially, I pushed back, citing that getting more than 100% is mathematically impossible. But the truth is, we continue to hear people claim that multipliers got more than 100% out of them. Greg pushed this issue, suggesting this pattern was an important data point. We began to ask, why would people insist that intelligence multipliers got more out of them than they actually had? Our research confirmed that multipliers not only access people's current capabilities, they stretch them. They get more from people than they knew they had to give. People reported actually getting smarter around multipliers. The implication is that intelligence itself can grow. This is an insight that is corroborated by other recent research into the extensible nature of intelligence. Consider a few recent real-life studies. Carol Dweck of Stanford University has conducted groundbreaking research that found that children given a series of progressively harder puzzles and praised for their intelligence stagnate for fear of reaching the limit of their intelligence. Children given the same series of puzzles then in praise for their hard work actually increased their ability to reason and solve problems. When these children were recognized for the efforts to think, they created a belief and that a reality that intelligence actually grows. Eric Turkheimer of the University of Virginia has found that bad environments suppress children's IQs. When poor children were adopted into upper middle class households, their IQs in fact rose by 12 to 18 points. Richard Nesbitt of the University of Michigan has reviewed studies that show 1. Students' IQ levels drop over summer vacation, and 2. IQ levels across society have steadily increased over time. The average IQ of people in 1917 would amount to a mere 73 on today's IQ tests. After reviewing these studies, I took Greg's advice and recalculated the data from our research interviews at face value, using the literal percentage of capabilities that people claimed multipliers received from them. When factoring this excess capability, the amount beyond 100%, into our calculations, we found that multipliers actually get 2.1 times more than diminishers. What if you not only got 2 times more from your team? What if you could get everything they had to give plus 5 to 10% more bonus because they were getting smarter and more capable while working for you? This 2-times effect is a result of deep leverage. Multipliers get from their resources. When you extrapolate the 2-times multiplier effect to the organization, you begin to see the strategic relevance. Simply said, resource leverage creates competitive advantage. Resource leverage. When Tim Cook, COO of Apple Inc., opened a budget review in one sales division, he reminded the management team that the strategic imperative was revenue growth. Everyone expected this, but they were astounded when he asked for the growth without providing additional headcount. The sales executive at the meeting said he thought the revenue target was attainable, but only with more headcount. He suggested they follow a proven linear model of incremental headcount growth, insisting that everyone knows that more revenue means you need more headcount. The two executives continued the conversation for months, never fully able to bridge their logic. The sales executive was speaking the language of addition, that is, higher growth by adding more resources. The COO, on the other hand, was speaking the language of multiplication, that is, higher growth by better utilizing the resources that already exist. The logic of addition. This is the dominant logic that has existed in corporate planning, that resources will be added when new requests are made. Senior executives ask for more output, and the next layer of operational leaders request more headcount. The negotiations go back and forth until everyone settles on a scenario such as 20% more output with 5% more resources. Neither the senior executives nor the operational leaders are satisfied. Operational leaders entrenched in the logic of resource allocation and addition argue, 1, our people are overworked. 2, our best people are the most maxed out. 3, therefore, accomplishing a bigger task requires the addition of more resources. This is the logic of addition. It seems persuasive, but importantly, it ignores the opportunity to more deeply leverage existing resources. The logic of addition creates a scenario in which people become both overworked and underutilized. To argue for allocation without giving attention to resource leverage is an expensive corporate norm. Business school professors and strategy gurus such as Gary Hamel and C.K. Perhalad have written, quote, "The resource allocation task of top management has received too much attention when compared to the task of resource leverage. If top management devotes more effort to assessing the strategic feasibility of projects in its allocation role than it does to the task of multiplying resource effectiveness, its value added will be modest indeed." Unquote. Picture a child at a buffet line. They load up on food, but a lot of it is left on the plate uneaten. The food gets picked at and pushed around, but is left to go to waste. Like these children, diminishers are eager to load up on resources, and they might even get the job done. But many people are left unused, their capabilities wasted. Consider the costs of one high-flying product development executive at a technology firm. Example, the high-cost diminisher. Jasper Wallace talked a good game. He was smart, and he could articulate a compelling vision for his products and their transformational benefits for customers. Jasper was also politically savvy, and he knew how to play politics. The problem was that Jasper's organization could not execute and realize the promise of his vision because they were in perpetual spin cycle, spinning around him. Jasper was a strategist and an idea man. However, his brain worked faster and produced more ideas than his organization could ever execute. Every week or so, he would launch a new focus or a new initiative. His director of operations recalled, he'd tell us on Monday we needed to catch up with competitor X and we needed to get it done this week. Our organization would scurry, throw a Hail Mary pass, and make progress for a few days, and then eventually lose traction when they were given a new goal to chase the following week. This leader was so heavily involved in the details that he became a bottleneck in the organization. He worked extremely hard, but his organization moved slowly. His need to micromanage limited what the rest of the organization could contribute. his need to put his personal stamp on everything, wasted resources, and meant his division of 1,000 was only operating at about 500 strong. Jasper's modus operandi was to compete for resources with a larger division in the company that produced similar technology. Jasper's overriding goal was to outsize the other division. He hired people at a breakneck pace and built his own internal infrastructure and staff, all of which was redundant with infrastructure that existed in the other division. He even convinced the company to build a dedicated office tower for his division alone. The problem was things eventually caught up with Jasper. It became clear that his products were hype and his company was losing market share. When the real return on investment, ROI, calculation was made, he was removed from the company and his division was folded into the other product group. The duplicate infrastructure he built was eventually removed, but only after millions of dollars had been wasted and opportunities lost in the market. Diminishers come at a high cost.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman. We're looking at the chapter, The Multiplier Effect. Next subsection, The Logic of Multiplication. We've examined the logic of addition and resource of inefficiencies that follow. Better leverage and utilization of resources at the organizational level require adopting a new corporate logic. This new logic is one of multiplication. Instead of achieving linear growth by adding new resources, you can more effectively extract the capability of your people and watch growth skyrocket. Leaders rooted in the logic of multiplication believe, one, most people in organizations are underutilized. All capability can be leveraged with the right kind of leadership. Therefore, intelligence and capability can be multiplied without requiring a bigger investment. For example, when Apple Inc. needed to achieve rapid growth with flat resources in one division, they didn't expand their sales force. Instead, they gathered the key players across various job functions, took a week to study the problem, and collaboratively developed a solution. They changed the sales model to utilize competency centers and better leverage their best salespeople and deep industry experts in the sales cycle. They achieved year-over-year growth in the double digits with virtually flat resources. Salesforce.com, a $1 billion software firm that has pioneered software as a service, has been making the shift from the logic of addition to the logic of multiplication. They enjoyed a decade of outstanding growth using the old idea of throwing resources at a problem. They address new customers and new demands by hiring the best technical and business talent available and deploying them on the challenges. However, a strained market environment created a new imperative for the company's leadership: get more productivity from their currently available resources. They could no longer operate on outdated notions of resource utilization. They started developing leaders who could multiply the intelligence and capability of people around them and increase the brain power of the organization to meet growth demands. Resource leverage is a far richer concept than just accomplishing more with less. Multipliers don't necessarily get more with less. They get more by using more, more of people's intelligence, more of people's capabilities, more of people's motivations. As one CEO put it, quote, 80 people can either operate with the productivity of 50, or they can operate as though they were 500. And because these multipliers achieve better resources efficiency, they enjoy a strengthened competitive position against companies entrenched in the logic of addition. This work strikes at the root of this outdated logic. To begin to see how, we turn to the question of how multipliers access intelligence and get so much out of their people. The answer, it is found, is in the mindset and the five disciplines of the multiplier. The mind of the multiplier. As we studied both diminishers and multipliers, we consistently found they hold radically different assumptions about the intelligence of the people they work with. These assumptions appear to explain much of the difference in how diminishers and multipliers operate. The mind of the diminisher. The diminisher's view of intelligence is based on elitism and scarcity. Diminishers appear to believe that really intelligent people are a rare breed, and I am one of the few really smart people. They then conclude other people will never figure things out without me. I recall a leader I worked with whom I can only describe as an intellectual supremacist. This senior executive ran a technology organization of over 4,000 highly educated knowledge workers. Most of these employees were graduates of the top universities from around the world. I joined one of his management meetings in which 20 members of his senior management team were troubleshooting an important go-to-market problem for one of their products. As we walked out of the meeting, we were reflecting on the conversation and the decisions made. He stopped, turned to me, calmly said, quote, "In meetings, I typically only listen to a couple of people. No one else really has anything to offer," unquote. I think he saw the alarm on my face because after his words came out, he added the awkward postscript, "Well, of course, you are one of those people." In fact, I doubted it. Out of the top 20 managers representing a division of 4,000 people, he believed only a couple had anything to offer. As we walked down the hallway, we passed by rows and rows of cubicles and offices occupied by his staff. Seen through new eyes, this expanse now suddenly looked like a massive brain power wasteland. I wanted to make a public announcement and tell them all they should go home, since their senior executive didn't think they had anything to contribute. In addition to assuming intelligence is a scarce commodity, diminishers see intelligence as static, meaning it doesn't change over time or because of circumstances. Research has shown that diminishers see intelligence as something basic about a person that can't change much. This is consistent with what Dr. Carol Dweck, noted psychologist and author, called a fixed mindset. This is the belief that one's intelligence and qualities are carved in stone. Diminishers' two-step logic appears to be people who don't get it now never will. Therefore, I need to keep doing the thinking for everyone. In the diminisher's world, there is no vacation for the smart people. You can probably predict how the executive described above actually operated on a day-to-day basis. You might ask yourself, how would you operate if deep down you held these beliefs? You would probably tell people what to do, make all the important decisions, jump in and take over when someone appeared to be failing. And in the end, you would almost always get it right because your assumptions would cause you to manage in a way that produced subordination and dependency. In the mind of the multiplier. Multipliers hold two very different assumptions. Multipliers have a rich view of the intelligence of people around them. If diminishers see the world of intelligence in black and white, multipliers see it in technicolor. They don't see a world where just a few people deserve to do the thinking. Multipliers see intelligence as continually developing. This observation is consistent with what Dweck calls a growth mindset, which is a belief that basic qualities like intelligence and ability can be cultivated through effort. They assume people are smart and can eventually figure it out. They see their organization as full of talented people who are capable of contributing to much higher levels than even they may believe they're capable of. They think like one manager we interviewed who takes stock of her team members by asking herself, in what way is this person smart? In answering this question, she finds colorful capabilities often hidden just below the surface. Instead of writing people off as not worth her time, she's able to ask, what could be done to develop and grow these capabilities? She then finds an assignment that both stretches the individual and furthers the interests of the organization. Such multipliers look at the complex opportunities and challenges swirling around them and assume there are smart people everywhere who will figure this out and even smarter in the process. Therefore, they conclude that their job is to bring the right people together in an environment that liberates people's best thinking and then get out of their way. How would you operate if you held these assumptions? In the most trying times, you would trust your people and you would extend hard challenges to them and allow them space to fulfill their responsibilities. You would then access their intelligence in a way that would actually make them smarter. The chart below summarizes how these very different sets of assumptions have a powerful effect on the way diminishers and multipliers lead others. How would you manage talent, approach mistakes, set direction, make decisions, getting things done? A diminisher says, they will never figure this out without me. A multiplier says, people are smart and will figure it out. Their words are develop, explore, challenge, consult, support. The diminisher's words are use, blame, tell, decide, control. These core assumptions are essential to unearth and understand because, quite simply, behavior follows assumptions. If someone wants to lead like a multiplier, he or she can simply mimic the practice of the multiplier. Every assuming multiplier must start by thinking like a multiplier. In 20 years of watching and coaching executives, I observed how leaders' assumptions affect their management styles. When someone begins by examining and potentially upgrading their core assumptions, they will more easily adopt the five disciplines of multiplier and authenticity and impact. So in the next show, we'll be looking at the five disciplines of the multiplier and look at this in more detail. So please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Tenneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.